We have a very difficult chapter to learn today. I've been trying to keep up. There was a pigua in Tel Aviv. A bus was blown up in Kikadizengot at 9 o'clock in the morning. Just when you were coming here. And it's very, very bad. So far there are 10 dead and over 30 wounded. And they're just getting the information now. All right. I've been trying to keep up by learning a perek a week. I don't know if I will succeed this week. I'm certainly going to make an effort. It's going to be one of those prakim that will raise many questions. And the only way that we will be able to deal with these questions is by seeing what it is that the Torah Sheba'al Peh, what the Gemara has to say about it. But let's begin with the facts. You will recall at the end of last week, I had pointed out that last pasuk. The last pasuk of chapter 2 describes how the soldiers of Yoav travel all night, Vayeor Lahem Bechevron. When they arrived in Chevron, light began. Dawn arrives as Yoav comes to Chevron. Avner, on the other hand, Avner, who is commander in chief of the forces of Ishbosheth, the forces of Binyamin, is also traveling all night. So it's said in Pasuk 29, Avner v'anoshav holchu ba'arava kol halaylo ha'hu. All night they traveled through the Arava and then they crossed the Jordan. So all right, they're traveling all night, and Yoav ben Tzruya, the commander-in-chief of the forces of David, is traveling all night, except that as far as Yoav is concerned, it ends with the words, Vayeor lahem bechevron, light, dawn. Dawn comes when they arrive in Chevron. And I pointed out that this is giving us a description of what is to come. As far as the house of Shaul is concerned, darkness is beginning to descend. The house of David is beginning to rise. And that's exactly what the next pasuk says. Let's begin with chapter 3. V'atehi amulchama aruka bein beit Shaul and beit David. And there was a lengthy war between the house of Shaul and the house of David. V'david holeich v'chazeik. David continued moving and becoming stronger. Ubeit Shaul Kolchim Vidalim, and the house of Shaul continues and becomes weaker. So David is on the rise, Shaul is on the descent. Vayivodu David banim bechevron, and children were born to David in Chevron. Vayihi bechoro, his firstborn was Amnon, who was born to Achinoam Hayisraelit, Umishnehu, and the second son was Chil'av, who was born to Avigail, Eshet Naval HaKarmeli, Vahashlishi Avshalom ben Ma'acha, Bat Talmai Melech Geshur, who was the daughter of Talmai, the king of Geshur. One can already begin to see the tragedies of the house of David. Amnon is going to be killed by Avshalom. Avshalom, of course, is going to rebel against his father toward the end of David's life, and Avshalom is going to be killed by Yoav ben Tzruya. V'harvi Adoniyahu ben Chagit, and the fourth was Adoniyahu ben Chagit. That's going to be the first chapter in Sefer Melachim, which is going to be the Haftorah of Parshat Chayisara, next week's Haftorah, the rebellion of Adoniyahu ben Chagit, when it seems as though David is already on his deathbed. Adoniyahu ben Chagit is the one who attempts to take over the kingdom. V'achamishi, the first one was Shvatya ben Avital. V'ashishi Yitra'am le'egla eshet David. The sixth one was Yitra'am, who was born to Egla eshet David. Interesting, this is one of a number of his wives, and she is referred to as eshet David. It would seem to the exclusion of the others. And we also don't even know who this Eglah is, except that the Gemara tells us that Eglah was another name, say a nickname, for Michal, Bat Shaul, Michal, the daughter of Shaul, who was in a sense his first love. And the term Eglah is used in Tanakh, Akelbala, Ashepsala, that there was something, there were extremely warm feelings that he had toward her. Eloh Yuldu LeDavid BeChevron, these were born to David in Chevron. Now, the importance of these psukim, and maybe that's what I should have begun with, the importance of these psukim is this is in order to enforce what the first pasuk said. First pasuk describes to us the house of David growing, becoming stronger, and part of that strength is the fact that the family of David is growing in Hebron. Does one know what the future holds? I mean, I've already let you in on what suffering is going to befall David as a result of a number of these children. But all right, we'll say there's a great deal to talk about here, but let's read the psukim first, except for one Gemara. Gemara brings it, Rashi says it, in Sefer Divrei Hayomim, the names of the children of David are repeated, but there is no kill of there. Instead, there's a son by the name of Daniel. This kill of was Daniel, and he was the one that was born to Abigail. And says the Gemara the following. Here he is called Kilav b'makam acher, and elsewhere he is referred to as Daniel. So it says Daniel, his name was Daniel. But why did they call him Kilav? Lefi shahoyu leitzani hadar onim, efsher sheminoval hi mitaberet. The jokesters of the generation, we're going to have a Rashi like this in Chumash, the jokesters of the generation said, this is not David's child, this is Naval's child. Remember, he was born to Abigail, ancient Naval, HaKarmeli. Ma Osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did the Rebbeinu Shlomo do? This Kilav, or Daniel, was the spitting image of David. He looked exactly like David. So, exactly the same thing Rashi brings by Yitzchak. Ela told us Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram holidat Yitzchak. These are the generations of Yitzchak, the son of Avram. Avram is the one who fathered Yitzchak. Why does it have to repeat? Avram fathered Yitzchak. Neshayulitzani hador omrim. The jokesters of the generation said, may Avimelech nit Avra Sarah. Sarah in this week's parasha is taken to the house of Avimelech. So it seems after she comes out of the house of Avimelech, she comes pregnant and gives birth to a child. So they said, it was from Avimelech and not from Avraham. So therefore the Gemara says, and Rashi brings it, Sar HaKadosh Baruch Hu klast arponav shel Yitzchak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the facial features of Yitzchak so much like Avraham that everybody had to admit, everybody had to say clearly, Avram holidat Yitzchak. Avram was the one who gave birth to Yitzchak. When it says Leitzanei Hador, I believe the term Leitzanei Hador has to be understood. Leitzanei Hador simply, of course, it means there are always people who want to hurt. They certainly want to hurt people of prominence and people of power, and nothing is too low for them to do. They tried to turn it into a joke. Maybe they didn't want to say it seriously to begin with, but you know what happens. By one person it's a joke, by the next one already it becomes a fact. So therefore the Rebbeinu Shlomo Kilav was the son of David, not the son of Naval HaKarmeli. Alright, so the house of David is on the rise. Let's go further. Vayehi b'yotam l'chama ben beit Shaul ben beit David. As the war continued between the house of Shaul and the house of David, and by the way, we're not going to have a description of what this war was like. We only know from the last chapter the struggle that took place that day when Avner ben Ner and Yoav ben Tzeruiah met at the pool of Gibeon.
But it seems that there was a struggle over a number of years. And Avner was the one who attempted to strengthen the house of Shaul. Shaul had a pilegesh, a concubine. The halacha says, halacha, according to Din Torah, one is permitted to have a pilegesh. A pilegesh means a woman who, according to many of the Rishonim, there is kiddushin, there is an act of kiddushin, but she does not have a ketubah. We once discussed this, I think we discussed it earlier, early last year, at the beginning of Shmuel Aleph. The Pelegish Begivah, plus was the end of Sefer Shoftim, but what I'm referring to is what we talked about at the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, when it talks about Elkanah, the low Steinashim. Elkanah had two wives, one Shem Ha'achat Chana, the Shem Ha'Sheinit Penina. One was Chana and the other was Penina. And there we discussed at greater length the idea that the rule by Klal Yisrael throughout its history was one wife. It's only the exceptions who had more than one wife. So that one should not be left with the impression as though everybody had either a number of wives or Pilag Shim. And even the way it is written here, it says Ulishol Pilegesh. Shaul had a Pilegesh, which means that it was not the norm. King, or for whatever reason, he had a Pilegesh. Yes, Rahul. Hagar. I don't remember. Isha. Was she called a Pilegesh? Yes, I don't remember. I don't know, I don't have my comments with me. I do know, at the waiter, take a look at the end of Parshat Vayera. Anybody who has a Chumash, at the end of Parshat Vayera, immediately after the Akedah Vayis, it says, Vayhi Achar Hadvarim Ha'ele, somebody had a Pilegesh Ushma Re'uma. Huh? They say that was, about whom does it say that? No, not Re'uma. Keturah was, I don't know, look at the questions here.
It says that Yusuf was the wife of Nahor.
Yes.
And it says,
Ushma.
Yeah, but Ushma is
his Pilagesh, yes. I don't know, was she referred, wait a minute. Oh, yes. In Parshat Chayei Sada, the pasuk occurs to me now. I'll tell you just one moment. Vilizneha pilagshim asher la Avraham natan Avraham matanot. At the end of Chayei Sarah, it says, by Yosef Avraham took a wife whose name was Ketura, and she gave birth to Zimron and Yokshan and Adon and Midyan and Yizbak and Shua, other children who came from Avraham. We forget about it, that toward the end of his life, Avraham fathered a number of other children. And then it says, "Vilevneha pilagshim ashel Avram natan Avram matanot." He gave them matanot, and he gave them gifts, and he sent them away. He sent them away from his son Yitzchak. Baudenu chay, while he was still alive, cave maleres get him to the land of the east, so that he wanted to separate them from Yitzchak. So Avram also had a pilagish. But what I'm saying, it does, yes. I thought it was understood because Sarah had said, Rashi brings on Keturah, that Keturah was Hagar. Right. So there, I was adding to what Sarah said, so therefore the answer would be, yes, Hagar is called a Pilegesh, on her other name, Keturah. But the only point, I only mentioned this simply because it means that overwhelmingly, throughout Tanakh, Jews were monogamous. Only exceptions were the ones that were not. David is a melech. Melech has a din of his own. Yes, he's not, but he is permitted to have 18 wives. 18 wives, the halacha says, a king is permitted to have. That's going to... But, by the way, that's also going to be a problem in next week's Haftorah, when David grows old and they bring Avishag HaShunami to him. So the Gemara says that he never married Avishag HaShunami, because he had 18 wives. If he would have married her, that would have been his 19th, and he was not permitted to do so. And he didn't. How did I get into all of this? Oh, but right, because the Gemara says that was the sin of Shlomo. Shlomo HaMelech said, yes, it says in Torah, that a king should not have many wives because they will turn his heart away from Torah. And me out of there, he said, I will have many wives, the law also, and it will have no effect on me. In other words, he was learning the Pasuk as the Pasuk saying, not that it's an absolute prohibition, but it's the kind of prohibition that, listen, one has to be careful, you know, Zihirut, be careful. So he said, I don't have to worry about that. And ultimately, of course, he was wrong. Why did I get into this? This is not, we'll never get through the parrot. Yes. Okay. Ulishol Pilegesh Ushma Vitzpa Bataya. Shol had a Pilegesh whose name was Vitzpa Bataya. Vayomer al Avner. And he said to Avner, who is it that said to Avner? Ishbosheth. It has to be Ishbosheth who says to Avner, Madua Batel Pilegesh Avi, why did you come to the concubine of my father? It seems that Avner, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to. On Sunday I was at a bris. The Netanyahu's had a baby boy, and the bris was on Sunday, but I came late to the bris, so I gave Mazel Tov to Bibi, and I asked him, what's the baby's name? So he tells me, Avner. You know, so I told him, you should have a lot of nachos from Avner. He says, no, Avner. So I said, listen, I'm an American, I'm just going to have to learn how to say Avner. The fact is that you take a look in the Navi, the accent in Avner is on the second syllable. It's not Avner, it's Avner. So I learned something. But it's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult. Ish Boshet reprimands Avner that he married the Pilegesh of Shaul. And Avner was very angry. How did they Yishboshet about the words of Yishboshet? The fact is, here is going to be one of the halachic problems that arises in this parak. The halach is the following. The halach is expressed in the following sentence: Ein mishtamshin b'sharbito shel melech. No one is permitted to use the scepter of a king. The personal effects of a king are prohibited to anybody else. And that includes the wife or the wives of a king. No one else is permitted to marry. Even another king, there is a doubt in halacha whether another king is permitted to marry. But even if we will say that another king is permitted, Avner certainly doesn't fit into that category. Avner obviously held that because she was a Pilegesh, so she is not considered a real wife, and therefore she was permitted to him. He gets very angry about the words of Ishbosheth. Vayomer, he said, Harosh Kelev, Anochi Asher Li Yehuda, am I the head of a dog in Yehuda? What we have to understand over here is two things. The tribe of Binyamin despised Yehuda. Now the most despicable animal, and an animal that throughout Tanakh is not looked at as man's best friend, but an animal that is looked at as an animal that's absolutely a gezoyed, a dog, you know, a lowlife. And the truth is that we use that term in English as well. I mean, he's a dog. You know, when you say he's a dog, I don't think you can say anything worse. Yes, I said that obviously. It's a difference in acculturation over here. Someplace dog is man's best friend, and then there are times at which a dog is used as a term, a term of derision. Over here it's a term of derision, and there's a double derision. A dog in Yehuda, you understand? This is not stomach dog. A dog of dogs. he gets very upset.
I am the one who's putting in such tremendous effort, and I'm endangering my life in order to make you king of Israel. And you have nothing better to do than to remind me or to bring up this issue of Chizpah Bat Aya. Are you a fool? Hayom Esther Chesed in Beit Shaul Avicha. Today you expect me to do kindness with the house of Shaul, your father? Is that what you really expect me to do after you have reprimanded me like this? Who do you think you're talking to? You're talking to a Rosh Kelev Asher Yehuda. And you expect me to do kindness with the house of your father, El Ech of his brothers, El Medeyeyu and his friends? You should be happy that the Lohim Tzidicha B'yadavid, you should be thrilled that I didn't hand you over, give you over to the hands of David. The only one who's maintaining his king now is me. Vatifkod Alai Avon Ha'isha Hayom, and you reminded me today of the sin of this woman. This is what you have to say to me. The Gemara says, because he honestly believed that Ishbosheth is the one who is to be king now. First of all, Israel had not accepted David. Number two, we mentioned last week that after before Binyamin is born, God says to Yaakov, Umelachim mechalotzecho yetzeyu, from your loins are going to come out kings. That means there have to be at least two kings from Binyamin. So one was Shaul, the second is Ishbosheth. He assumes that he's doing God's work. And that was, I think, the major emphasis of the shir last week. And that shir of last week came help me explain something this week in the Haftorah. Somebody asked me a question, and it was a question that I didn't have an answer, but you know, when I'm put on the spot and somebody asks me a question, I'm stuck. I have to think. In the Haftorah of this week, the story, there are two stories in the Haftorah. The first story is a woman who comes. Huh? Where? In Yerushalayim. A chayal was stabbed. Not the life friend. It's not every day things get worse. Every hour. She can't see on. All right. In the Haftorah, there's a story of one of the women, one of the wives of the prophets, an almana, who cries out to Elisha and says, my servant, your husband, has died, and I owe money, and the creditor wants to take my children as slaves. So it says that Elisha he made a miracle, that she had a jar of oil, started pouring from the jar of oil, and just oil kept flowing and flowing. She was able to sell the oil and provide for her family and pay all of her debts. So somebody asked me the question, why doesn't Elisha go to the creditor and tell him, what are you doing? You're going to take two Yiddish kinderlich as slaves because a mother and a mama can't pay her debts? Why doesn't he cry out against the evil? So I said the following, and that was really, it's really a continuation of the thought that we said last week. But you will recall that what I said last week is there are promises that are made by God, and a promise made by God is something that he has to fulfill. Let no one ever think that they are going to be the ones who are going to be able to do God's job. I said this with Avram in the Akedah. As far as God's promise, Ki b'Yitzchok yikara lecha zera, God's promise that Yitzchok is going to be the father of a great people, that's God's business. You tell me now to take him and bring him as a sacrifice on the Mizbeach. That's my job. Men never has the right
to think that he is God-like. And therefore, Avram thinks to himself, God made a promise that Yitzchak is going to be a great nation. That's his business. He has to fulfill that. I am not the one who is to fulfill that. I'm to do what I'm responsible to do. We said the same thing about Avner Baner. Avner Baner learns Pshat in a Pasuk that it seems that that God made a promise that there will be two kings from the house of Binyamin. So he wants to make certain that Ish-bosheth is going to be king. And the Gemara says, therefore, that he was punished because he delayed the establishment of the kingdom of the house of David. He delayed it. So I said, why? What was his mistake? It's fine to learn Pshat in a Pasuk, but the promise that there will be kings coming from the house of Binyamin and Shaul, that's God's responsibility. It's not man's job to try and step into God's shoes. So I said like this, there's a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim that says, Kol almana v'yatom lo ta'anun. Don't you dare cause pain or punishment or suffering to a widow or to orphans. Ki im tsa'ok yitzake, like the Pasuk Gal Tamen says, if they will cry out to me, when they cry out to me, shamoa eshma tzakato, I will hear their cries. V'chora api, I will get angry, and I will bring punishment upon the one who is causing suffering to them. I said the following. It's not Elisha's business to go to the creditor. God has already said in Torah, the fellow who's causing suffering to an almana and yisraelim, I'm going to take care of him. That's God's business. What is Elisha's business? It is his responsibility to do whatever he can to help out the almana and the yisraelim. He has to bring blessing to them. He has to support them. But the idea of, in some way, dealing with the perpetrator of the crime, the bakasha. Here God said, I'm the one that's going to deal with it. The chora api, I will get angry. I'm going to kill you by the sword, and your wives will be almanas, and your children are going to be your sons. Certainly the sharpest pasuk, most probably, in all of Torah. Therefore, Elisha does not see it as his responsibility. He's not going to step into God's shoes. All right. Let's go further. So now that means, it seems Avner has done something wrong. Avner has done something wrong. There are going to be two main characters in this parak, and the two of them are characters that we're going to have to understand. From the text alone, we will never be able to understand them. There may be hints, but we will not be able to fully understand them. Avner and Yoav ben Tzeruya. Does anybody know where Avner is buried? Well, we didn't even learn about him getting killed. It says in this parak that he's buried in Hebron, right opposite the Ma'arat HaMachpelah. So if you want an indication who we are talking about, in Hebron, opposite the Ma'arat HaMachpelah, is Kever Avner Bener. So as long as you keep that in mind, then you must understand we're dealing with a person who is a tzaddik. And therefore, if he does something, it is obviously because he believes it to be correct. Let's go further. Ko yaseh Elokim li'Avner, Avner. So shall God do to Avner v'chol yosif lo, and so he should add. This is a term that begins to appear in Sefer Shmuel, and appears in Shmuel and in Malachim. This is a form of oath, or a curse that one says upon oneself, but one never finishes a sentence like, so shall God do. But one doesn't say what he should do. It's enough just to say, if I'm not going to do what I promised to do, so shall God do, and so shall he add. Ki kashen nishba Hashem leDavid. Now watch. As God has sworn to David, ki chen e'eselo, so I will do to him. Do you hear what's happening over here? It means, from this pasuk, we learn that Avner knows that God has sworn that David is going to be king. And you see, he's doing the same thing. Even here now, he sees himself as the one who is to do God's job. God swore to David that he's going to make him king. I'm going to do it for him. Lahavir Hamamlach Amidei Shaul, to remove the kingdom from the house of Shaul, Ulahatim et Kisei David, and to establish the throne of David al Yisrael, Baal Yehuda Midon Bad Be'er Sheva. In his anger with Ishbosheth, he says, this is it, I have now decided, Beit Shaul is finished, I am going to establish the kingdom of David from Dan until Be'er Sheva. Quite a statement he makes. He's not going to succeed in doing it. He's going to be cut down. Men cannot be the one who will do God's work. That's a little bit too, there's something egotistical about it. I'm, as God swore, so I will do. V'lo yachol od l'hashir et avne dava meyir ato'oto, and he was no longer able to answer Avner because of his fear of him. I still, the idea that his name is not mentioned, Ishbosheth's name is not mentioned again, sort of him. There's something that represents the idea that Ishbosheth is sort of disappeared. Is that finished? I thought you were saying vanishing. All right, it's all the same. He's sort of, it's all over. Yeah, but we talked about that last week. It won't work out. I mean, would you like to have a name like Ishbosheth? Yeah. All right. And Avner sent messengers to El David Tachtav in his place to speak for him, Lema, to say the following. Lemi Odetz. To whom is the land? To whom does the whole land look for leadership? Lema. He is saying to David, Kartab b'ditcha iti, make a covenant with me. V'hine yadi imach, my hand is going to be with you. L'hasev elecha, I call yourself to turn all of Israel toward you. Vayomer, David said, Tov, good. Ani echrat itcha b'dit, I will make a treaty with you. Ar davar echad anochi shoel miyitcha leimar. One thing I ask of you, one condition. Lo tir'e et panai, you shall not see my face, ki im... Lifnei hediachat Michal bat Shaul, cannot see me before you bring Michal bat Shaul bevorachal lirot et panai, when you come to see my face. You must bring Michal bat Shaul. You will recall, David had married Michal, and then Shaul took away Michal from David and gave her to Palti ben Laish. There also, we discussed in outline what was a machloket haposkin, a difference between Shaul and David, whether David's marriage to Michal was halachically correct, whether it was not halachically correct. Shaul held that she is not married to David; he gives it to somebody else. Vayishlach David malachin el Ishbosheth ben Shaul lemar. David sent messages to Ishbosheth, the son of Shaul, saying, "Tonight, ishti et Michal, give me my wife Michal." That I became betrothed unto her with the 100 foreskins of the Philistines. That's what he had promised. That's what David had said. Whoever brings 100 foreskins. Shaul said. Good, you're all listening. Whoever brings me 100 foreskins of the Plishtim, he is the one to whom I will give my daughter Michal. Vayishlach Ishbosheth sent vayikochel meim ish. He took her from a man, Paltiel ben Laish. Vayelech ito Yisho, her husband, went with her. Haloch u'bacho achareha. He went and he cried after her, ad Bachurim, until a place called Bachurim. Vayomer elav Avner, and Avner said to him, Lech shuv, go back, Vayashov, and he returned. The Gemara here is very fascinating. The Gemara says his name was Paltiel, from the word Palit. Palit means somebody who is rescued, or, you know, Vayavo Hapolit Vayageid LaAvram HaIvri. The Polit came and said to her, the one who sort of escapes is, huh? Survives. Gemara says all of the years that he was married to Michal, he never touched her, because he knew that there. She may very well be an Eshet Ish. May very well be an Eshet Ish. She may very well be a married woman. So that he was able to overcome, and be so strong all of those years. Paltiel, God is the one who saved him from that sin. Why does, huh? Why what? I would imagine that he married her because she was given to him by the king.
You don't tell a king no thank you, especially since the king has paskin that she is mutter to him. But he wasn't out. He wasn't out.
So why did he ask that
she had married? This is... because David holds that she's not married to Paltiel ben Laish, and she's his wife. So David wants her. Question is, why is Palti ben Laish crying?
Yeah.
Says the Gemara that he's crying Sheholcha mimeno otam mitzvah, that mitzvah was leaving him. The fact that he was able to restrain himself, and that for him it had become a measure of his piety, So he followed her until Bachurim. Yes. No, it's later. Very good. Very good. I'll tell you. Explain both. Number one, at the beginning of the parak, when it says these are the children who are born to him in Hebron, he's going to be 7 years in Hebron. The pasuk is listing all of the children that are born in Hebron, but it doesn't say when they're born. We are now at the beginning of his stay in Hebron. Later on, some prakim later, it's going to say Ulamichal, but Shaul lo hayala valad, she had no child. So the Gemara says she had no child from that, the day of that event that we're going to read later. From that day on and further, she didn't have a child, but before that she did have a child, and that's the one that was mentioned earlier. Udvar Avner hoyo mizitne Yisrael lemor, and the we got a cover text over here. Avner had spoken with the elders of Israel, saying, "Gam tmo gam shil shom he gam bevakshin et David lemelech aleim." Listen, you people, yesterday and the day before, meaning in the past, you are the ones that wanted that David should be king over you. V'ato asu, now do it. Ki Hashem amar al David lemor, because God had said to David, saying, "Biyad David avdi hoshiat ami Yisrael biyad plishtim, through the hands of my servant David, I will save my people Israel from the hands of Plishtim, umiyad kol yaveim, from the hands of all of their enemies." Do you see the change that has taken place in Avner? He is now presenting David to the Jewish people as the one who has been appointed by God, and the one who is going to save Israel from the hands of all of its enemies. Vayedaber gam Avner ba'oznei Binyamin, he also spoke to the people of Binyamin. Vayayler gam Avner ledaber bi'oznei David b'chevron, and Avner went to speak to David in Hebron, at kol asher tov b'enei Yisrael, that this is good in the eyes of Israel, u'b'enei kol beit Binyamin, and in the eyes of the entire house of Binyamin. He had done quite a job of speaking to the elders of all of Israel, and after he speaks to the elders of all of Israel, he speaks to his own family, the tribe of Binyamin, and finally he is able to tell David that all of Israel is with you. Vayavo Avner al David Hebron. Avner came to David in Hebron. Ve'ito esrim anashim, 20 people came with him. Vayaz David la Avner v'la anashim asher itom mishteh, and David made a party for Avner and his men. Vayomer Avner al David. Avner said to David, "Akuma ve'elecha ve'egbitzoel Adoni Amelech et kol Yisrael." I'm going to get up. I'm going to go, and I'm going to gather all of Israel to my master, the king. El kol Yisrael, to all of Israel. To all of Israel. By the way, this is the first time that David is referred to by anybody as Hamelach. Adoni Hamelach. My master the king. I'm going to bring them, and they will all make a covenant with you. Umalachtan, you will be king. Bechol asher ta'aven afshecha, whatever you will desire. Yishalach David at Avner, and David sent Avner away. Vayeler b'shalom, and he went. And he went in peace. He went in peace. Vehine, I want you to watch something. This pasuk, next two pasukim. Vehine, Avdei David, the servants of David, Yoav ba mehagdud. Yoav had come mehagdud. He had been out conducting a battle. It means, as Avner leaves Hebron, Yoav arrives in Hebron. It may very well have been that David made certain that Avner should come when Yoav is not present, and they just sort of make it. He leaves, and Yoav is coming from doing battle. The Shalol Ravi Ma'aviv, when they brought a great deal of spoil with them. Avner einenu im David b'Chevron, and Avner is no longer with David in Chevron. Ki shilcho, because he sent him, Vayelach b'Shalom, and he went in peace. What were the last two psukim of the pasuk, the last two words of the pasuk before? Ve'elu b'shalom. What are the last two words of this pasuk? What are going to be the next, the last two words in the next pasuk? You don't even have to look. Ve'elu b'shalom three times in a row. It will be important. The Yoav the Cholat Zavar Shedi Tobo and Yoav and all of the army that were with him came by Yagidu Yoav Lamar. They said to Yoav, so saying, Bo Avner ben Ner Alamelech. Avner ben Ner came to the king by Yishalcheu, and he sent him away by Yelov B'Shalom, and he went in peace. Just tuck it away. We'll talk about the by Yelov B'Shalom. By Yavo Yoav Alamelech, Yoav came to the king by Yom, and he said, Ner Sita, what did you do? He made Bo Avner Elecha. Avner came to you, Lama says, she lachto vayelech alach. Why did you send him and he just went off merrily on his way? Yadatot Avner b'ner, you know Avner b'ner. Ki lefatot chaba, he's come to seduce you. He wants to leave the impression that he's a man of peace. V'ladat et motzaecha et movaecha, he wants to know where you go out and where you come in. He came here on a spying mission. He wants to know everything he can do it. Interesting. We have a commander-in-chief who has spoken very harsh words to Ishbosheth. We now have a commander-in-chief who has spoken very harsh words to David. I mean, commanders-in-chief, you understand, this is not an Amnon Shachak or an Ehud Barak. We're talking about Avner ben Ner and Yoav ben Tzruiah. These are very, very sharp words. Vayetze Yoav mi and David. Yoav left David. Vayishlach malachim acharei Avner, and he sent messengers after Avner. Vayashivu oto, and they brought him back mi bor hasira. For David lo yada. No response. No response. I assume you're asking a question. I believe the answer to your question is going to come in the course of the parak. There's no response. By the way, was there a response from Ishbosheth? But there, at least the Pasuk said, V'lo yachol od l'hashivet avner davar. Pasuk 11, it says that Ishbosheth was unable to respond to Avner miyirato, because he fears him. Are you certain? Are you certain? The only question will be, if it does apply here, why isn't it said here? So we have to wait. Very often the questions that we ask, I think the text is going to answer it. Wait a minute. He brings him back from Bor Sira. In a moment we're going to talk about Bor Sira. It's obviously the name of a place. Vayoshav Avner Chevron, Avner returned to Chevron, Vayateu Yoav El Toch Hashar, and Yoav brought him into the gate, L'daber Ito Basheli, to speak to him. For the present, we'll say the word Sheli means in private or in silence. Vayakeu Shon HaChomesh, and he smote him there, he ran him through that fifth rib. Vayomat, and he died. V'dam Asoel Ochiv, the blood of his brother Asoel. Remember in the last chapter, Asoel, after the struggle between Avner and Yoav, Ben Tzruiah Asoel is the one who pursued Avner and wanted to kill him. And when he caught up with Avner, Avner told him, go to the right, go to the left, find somebody else to kill, not me, lest I cut you down. And Asoel refused, so Avner is the one who kills Asoel, the brother of Yoav. Here it is Yoav who kills him, and the pasuk says, why does he kill him? Because of the blood of his brother Asoel. Huh? No, it was not in the same place. No, was it? No, it was out on the field of battle. Oh, the same place. Same place. Yes, same place. I thought you were talking about geography, not anatomy. All right, okay. Obviously, one of the things that we're going to have to do is, as the commander-in-chief of the forces of David, he is also going to be the one who's going to kill Avshalom, though Avshalom, or David had ordered, nobody should touch touch that boy. On his deathbed, what does David tell Shlomo? And that's going to be the Haftarah for Parshat Vayechi. It'll be a very bloody Haftarah. Parshat Vayechi, the final, the last will and testament, so it seems from that Perek Malachim, is a number of people who Shlomo is told by David make certain that they do not go into the grave in peace. And one of them is Yoav ben Tzruya. Yoav ben Tzruya is the man who for 40 years, fights side by side with David. He's the commander-in-chief of all of Israel. More than that, he was a great commander-in-chief. When the Gemara wants to give us an example of a person who all of Israel needs, there's a Mishnah in Masechta Makot where the Mishnah says that a person who kills unintentionally must flee to a city of refuge. And the halacha is, he's not permitted to leave the city of refuge until the death of the Kohen Gadol. And the Mishnah says the following, somebody was killed unintentionally is not permitted to leave a city of refuge, afilu kol Yisrael tzrichim lo, even if all of Israel need him, ki Yoav ben Tzruya, like Yoav ben Tzruya. All of Israel need him. By the way, I don't think that we should lose sight of something. Hebron is one of the Arei Miklat. Hebron is one of the cities of refuge. There are new cities of refuge, yeah. Not Al Pi Torah that were. I didn't tell you the great pshat, unfortunately, I came up with this year. The city, the halacha of this, I must have told you. If I didn't, I'm going to say it again. In Parashat Maaseh is the first time that we have the halacha of cities of refuge. And, you know, you have to read Torah over again year after year. And it says the following, Vayadaber Hashem Moshe Leva, God spoke to Moshe, so saying, Daber B'nei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel. Va'amar Talayim, tell them, Atem Ovrim Et HaYarden, you're crossing the Jordan to the land of Canaan. V'hikritem Lachem Adin, you should set aside unto you cities, Arei Miklot Tiyena Lachem, they shall be for you cities of refuge. V'nos Shom Rotzeach, one who kills should flee there. Makei Nefesh Bishkoda, somebody who kills unintentionally. V'hoyu Lachem Ha'adim, Limiklat Migoel, the city shall be unto you as a refuge from the Goel, the Redeemer, the Avenger. And by the way, this is going to be important now, because we will see that Avner considers himself the Goel Hadam of Asoel. His brother had been killed. Who is the Avenger? Who's supposed to avenge the blood of Asoel? Who did I say? It's a bad day in many ways. The cup arbet nisht. Yoav ben Tzruya sees himself as the Goel Hadam, the avenger for the blood of his brother, and therefore he strikes down Avner. And that's precisely, by the way, what the Pasuk said over here. The Pasuk is being very kind to Avner when it says, Vayakim Shom HaChomesh Vayomot Bedam Asoel Achim. He died because of the blood of his brother Asad. But wait, I'll get back to that in a moment. Meanwhile, I'm reading these psukim about the cities of refuge. Velo Yamut HaRotzeach, the killer shall not be put to death until he's brought before the Sanhedrin. Ve'ha'orim asher titnu sheish orim miklat tiyenu lachem, and the cities of refuge unto you shall be six. Alright? I'm going to read it again. And I'm going to emphasize one word that appears four times. I haven't seen any of the Mefarshim talk about it, but it is certainly something we have to take note of. Listen how I read. V'hikritem lochem arim. You should set aside for you cities. Orei miklat tihiyena, these are cities of refuge, they should be cities of refuge. Lochem, unto you. V'hoyu lochem ha'arim, and the cities shall be unto you cities of refuge. Orei miklot tihiyena lochem, they shall be unto you. What do you mean, Lachem? What are the cities of refuge? Are they a lulav and esrog? By lulav and esrog, it says, Lekachem Lachem b'yom harishon, on the first day of Sukkot, you should take unto you lulav and esrog, from which we learned halacha that the lulav and esrog has to belong to you. It has to be your property. Why four times you should make cities of refuge for you? For you? For you? Who then am I making cities of refuge for? Ah. I haven't seen any version that say it. So I took the liberty of saying the responsibility of Jews is to make cities of refuge for Jews. You don't make cities of refuge. You don't make cities of refuge for the enemy. You don't create an Azov v'Yericho that have turned into cities of refuge for killers. All right.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Hebron is the name of blood. Why did Yoav bring Abner into Hebron and
kill
him inside?
All right. So the word, and what's interesting is, you see, when you were talking about the place, I thought that you meant the fact that it says he brought him into the gate. Vayateu Yoav el toch ha-sha'ar. Sort of, Yoav brought him into the gate. Why is it important to tell us that he brought him into the gate? El Shar Ha'ir, the gate of the city. So let me learn a Gemara with you. It'll be one of a few Gemaras that we're going to have to learn. We will simply not understand the chapter without the words of the Gemara. You see, because as we learn through Sefer Melachim Bet, obviously I'm going to have to show you the greatness of Yoav ben Tzruya. We are also going to learn about the greatness of Avner. But when we read the simple text, we are left with the impression that here are bloodthirsty killers. So let me read one Gemara, at least one. The Gemara says the following, that he, Vayateu Yoav el toch ha-shar, Yoav brought him into the gate. Ledaber ito basheli, to speak to him. One shot we said was in private. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Shedano bedin Sanhedrin. What was always in the gate of a city? What was in a gate? The Sanhedrin used to be Shoftim the Shotrim Titelecha Bechol Sharecha. Judges and officers you shall have in all of your gates. Shar represents the Sanhedrin. If it says over here the place, he brings him out, Toch HaShar, so Rabbi Yochanan says, you know what Toch HaShar means? That he has brought him before the Sanhedrin. What happened before the in the presence of the Sanhedrin? The following is what happened. I'll tell you what happened. Huh? This is a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Moran Sanhedrin says the following, that they brought he brought Avner before the Sanhedrin, before the Bedin in Hebron, and he said to him, "You're guilty of murder. You killed my brother Asael." So what would Avner's response be? Self-defense. He was pursuing me. He was a rodef. He was pursuing me. Munver. I told him, go to the right or to the left. Not me. I'll run you through. So Yoav said, the halach is the following. The halach is the following. If somebody is being pursued, he has a right to kill the pursuer. Habola harkecha, the one who comes to kill you, hashkein v'harko. Except, unless. What happens if it's possible to wound the pursuer and not kill him? Then the halacha is you have to wound him. Yachol lahatzul bi echad me'evarav, if you can save yourself by injuring one of the organs of the pursuer, then you are not permitted to put him to death. So Avner says you could have saved yourself by injuring Asael. Yoav said to Avner, you could have saved yourself by injuring him. So he says no. Avner says no. So Yoav tells him, somebody who is able to run somebody through in the fifth rib, a perfect murder of that sort is somebody that certainly would have been able to injure Asahel so that he wouldn't kill you. It may very well be that's precisely why the Pasuk, what does the Pasuk say over here? It's not for no reason. It's not a good English sentence, but you know what I mean. It's not for naught that Yoav runs Avner through in the fifth rib. Because the message in his dying moments is, you could have saved yourself by wounding Asael. And since you didn't do that, then you are a killer. You killed my brother, I am therefore the Goel Hadam, I am the avenger, and I have the right to run you through. So that means that the Gemara is saying here, and it's always the hints of the Pasuk. The major remez in the Pasuk is that he brings him into the Shar. Do we have to know precisely where he brings him into? So do you understand what the Gemara is opening up for us? The Gemara is opening up for us all of the events of the story that would not be known otherwise. It would only be known in the event that one is sensitive to the nuances of the Pasuk. And then what else, of course, should arouse our curiosity is the fact that the Pasuk is testifying that Yoav was justified. Doesn't it seem like that from the Pasuk? Because the Pasuk says that he died because of the blood of his brother Asael. That's an editorial comment of the Pasuk. It's not Avner saying this. It's not Yoav saying this. This is the Pasuk that's telling us that he died because of the blood of Asael. So there is a comment of it. It means, therefore, Yoav is being exonerated. Yoav is being exonerated. But David, he's the event, but David is not going to exonerate Yoav. Yes? Ah, so now you're asking why is who's the Marid Malchus? I thought you meant Yoav. But it's fascinating. The thing's like this. I hear what you're saying. The thing is like this, he could not be considered a Morag the Malchut as long as Malchut Beit David had not yet been accepted over all of Israel, Midon Bab Beersheba. You know, David has to be the accepted Melech of all of Israel. If that doesn't happen, then he's not a Morag the Malchut. Let's do another few psukim so that we will at least have laid the groundwork for a lot of other Gemaras that we're going to have to talk about. Vayishma David me'acharei chen, and David heard afterwards. Vayomin, he said, Noki anochi umamlechti me'im Hashem ad olam. I and my kingdom, we are innocent before God and the world, mi demei Avner ben Ner, from the blood of Avner ben Ner. Listen to a pasuk that's going to shake you. Yachulu arosh Yoav, let it come to pass upon the head of Yoav. They'll call Beit Aviv and upon his entire father's house. Listen to a curse. Val yikareit mi beit Yoav, they should never be removed from the house of Yoav. Zav, umetzora, umachazik bapelach, v'nofel bacherev, v'chasar lechem. There should always be in the house of Yoav one who is ill with a zav, all sorts of flows of liquids, issues from the body, umetzora, and a leper. Umachazik bapelach, machazik bapelach means somebody who's poor and is only able to make a living by doing some kind of sewing or weaving. V'nofel b'cherev, let there be in his family those who fall by the sword, v'chasar lechem, and those who are not going to have bread again. I think it's most probably the most concentrated curse in all of Tanakh. V'yoav, v'avishai b'chiv hargul avner. Now the Pasuk is telling us there was a conspirator, there was an accessory to the crime. Avishai, the brother of Yoav. they killed Avner. Al Asher heimit et asol achim begivon demolchama, because they had killed their brother, because he had killed their brother Asol in Givon in war. Now, by the way, when it says that he had killed their brother Asol in war, that's no longer a condemnation. This is no longer on the cat. This is a condemnation. No, I'm sorry. This is not a condemnation, because what it's saying now is, I'm afraid to use the term. This is okay. It means that Asol is a korban hamilchama. In other words, he fell in war. He fell in battle. In war, one does as one should do in war. In total, what it seems is the pasuk seems to be siding with Avner, while David is the one who is condemning Avner and cursing him in such a terrible way. David is cursing Yoav. God, I can't. I'll just have to go. David is condemning Yoav. The pasuk is defending Yoav. So what's going to happen with all of these curses? The Gemara is going to say much worse. The Gemara is going to say not that it does not come to be. The Gemara considers this killat chinam, a curse in vain. And a curse in vain is going to returns back upon the cursor. The Gemara says, la'olam, a person should rather be one of those who is the object of a curse rather than be one who curses. And the Gemara is going to outline in detail how in the house of David there was a Zav, a Metzora, Machazik, Bepelach, Nofel, Becharav, and Chasar Mulchama. The Gemara here is going to come to the defense of Yoav ben Tzruya, just as the Pasuk is coming to his defense. All right. To be continued next week. I think it would be a good idea if you go over the psukim and finish this chapter.